Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to tell you a little story. Now, whenever a story starts with once upon a time, that means I made it up, okay? Once upon a time, there were three animals in a barnyard. A pig, a cow, and a chicken. And over time, they got to be pretty good friends. And one day, they got the idea, let's have a potluck. And they decided, okay, tomorrow morning, bright and early, we'll show up and have a potluck. And the pig said to the chicken, you bring the eggs. And the chicken said, okay. And then the chicken said to the cow, you bring the milk. And the cow said, okay. And the cow turned to the pig and said, you bring the bacon. And the pig said, whoa, wait a second. The commitment to this dinner is a whole lot more expensive for me than it is for you. Well, what I'd like to do is to talk about two different kinds of faith this morning. And I know this terminology is not in the King James, but I'd like to talk the difference between pig faith and cow faith. Okay? All right. So what I'd like to do is talk about the difference between those two kinds of faith. And when I go through the Bible and I look at some of the great acts of faith, sometimes I like to look and try to have a little bit of a sense of humor. And I like to look at great acts of faith. And one of the ones that really pop out to me is a time when Joshua was given a command to go into a battle, and he went into a battle, and then the Lord told him to do the mop-up operation, and he was chasing the bad guys. And it was starting to get later on in the day, and he stood up, and he said, Lord, hold the sun still. My friends, that's outside the box faith. It took him a lot to say that. You know, back home, about half our church are made up of farmers. And there's certain times of the year where it's time to harvest the hay. And I've got three boys right now. They're 18, 19, and 21. And over the last several years, there's been several times where a storm's coming in, and they're gathering hay, and they'll call to the house and say, we need help. We've got to get that stuff up, because if we don't get it up, it goes from $4 a bale to $2 a bale if that rain gets on it. And they'll get a call, and we'll all come over there and toss 60, 70-pound barrels of hay in the tractor. And I've seen farmers pray, Lord, hold off that storm. Lord, keep this equipment running. Lord, let the cavalry show up and let the help cut here. But I've never seen one of them climb top their tractor and said, Lord, hold that sun still. We just don't think that way, do we? Uh-uh. God can do any of those things. But sometimes we limit them in what we ask. There's another time I like to kind of, I got a funny imagination sometimes. Maybe it's from doing devotionals with five children. I try to get silly sometimes. Really try to stretch their imagination. And then usually when I'm doing it with them, I'm realizing the lesson's really for me. There's a time in Scripture where a man borrowed an axe. And he was by the side of the road, by the side of a river, chopping wood. And as he was chopping that wood, the axe handle flew off. And he thought, oh no, I got to pay for this thing. I borrowed it. And he went to the prophet. He says, I'm in trouble. Back then, steel was pretty expensive. This is what my prayer would have been. My prayer would have been, Lord, as I dive in the river, guide my hand. Or, Lord, as I throw this net into the river, help it sweep up and catch that thing. I'd have never thought, float! Is that what happened? But that's what the man of God did. Now I ask you, if the subject matter is the difference between pig faith and cow faith. When Joshua climbed up to talk to his tractor and said, son, hold still, was that pig faith or cow faith? You think it's pig faith? What did he really give of himself? Was it sacrificial? To me, what I think pig faith is what Stephen did when he preached the gospel and he was stoned for it. When the apostles went out and they were martyred for it, I think that's probably it. I think when Gideon was told to go to battle with a multitude in a valley that were so numerous it was like grasshoppers, and he says, wait a second, you got too many people. Go down from 32,000 to 10,000. That's not enough. Go down from 10,000 to 300. That's not enough. Put down your swords and go into a pitcher's trumpets and lamps.
Now that's big faith. Okay? That's sacrificial. And what I'd like to do is challenge you. There's 30 things in the Bible that we're asked to do that we think is, oh, it's terrible. Lord, you're asking so much. But when push comes to shove, I want to ask you some of those things. Is it pig faith or is it cow faith? Here's one. Let me just try to tell you where I'm going. Peter was having a discussion with Jesus Christ, and they were having a discussion about forgiving. Jesus says, no, you got it all wrong. And the conversation goes on and on, and he says, you've got to forgive 490 times. Right. Now, really, is that pig faith or cow faith? Okay, really? We think, just sometimes just to forgive once, we think, oh, Lord, you're asking so much. But come on, is that sacrificial? What is it really? Is it, what kind of commitment is that really? You understand where we're going? All right. What I'd like to do is go through a couple of commandments in Scripture just to kind of check you out. Because there's a few commandments in the New Testament. I'll give you one. Repent and be baptized. Now, is that pig faith or cow faith? I suppose if you lived in the Middle Ages and the Roman Catholic Church was around, yeah, they'd have killed you for it. Or I suppose if you were in the time of Jerusalem and you lost all your employment contracts, yeah, you could probably call that pig faith. But how about here in America? What is that? Is that pig faith or cow faith? Is it really sacrificial in that terms? Okay, when I go to Scripture, I look at some of the men of faith, and I always like to go to the Hebrews 11, that hall of faith there. And one of the first guys listed is a man named Noah. Noah, I want you to build a boat. It's going to rain. Remember, it never rained before. So, it's pretty flat out here, pretty hot out here. What if Brother Randy and Brother Bill started building an ark right in the middle of Oklahoma? Oceans are long ways away. Lakes are long ways away. You'd think they're nuts, wouldn't you? Is that pig faith or cow faith? Is it really costing them? Maybe a little bit of sweat. And not only that, you know how long it took them to build it? And I figure it took them close to 100 years. And there they go. There's Noah continually building it. Is that a great act of faith? Yeah. But come on, push comes to shove. Sorry. Push comes to shove. What is it? Building that ark, was that pig faith or cow faith? How about, we've heard this mentioned sometime during the weekend. How about when an older couple, Abraham and Sarah, were told they're going to have a baby? Was that pig faith or cow faith? What were they really giving? There was joy there. But it's great faith. One time Israel was told to circle Jericho 13 times. Remember, they had to do it once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day they had to do it 7 times? Was that pig faith or cow faith? Did it really cost them anything? Maybe it cost some of the ones that like to talk a lot. They were told, thank you, Sister Eileen. They were told as they went around the city to be quiet. But what did it really cost them to walk around the city 13 times? Nothing. Was it a great act of faith? Yeah. But it was still cow faith, wasn't it? Here's one I like. Remember when Elijah was told to go minister and there was a famine in the land and he showed up at this one old widow woman's house? And he says, give me your food, give me some food. And she said, this is the last I have, and I got a couple twigs and I've got a little bit of oil and I was just going to make a little bit of bread for my son and I, then we're going to die. And Elijah says, give that to me. Yeah, I'll grant that's pig faith, okay? I say that's pig faith. But have you ever been asked that? I don't see a commandment like that in the New Testament for you. I've never been asked anything like that thus far. I pray that if I am, I could stand up like that old widow woman. But I haven't been asked that. And just being around your elders, again, it's my first time here, first time stepping in Oklahoma. I'm thankful to be here. Hospitality has been wonderful from the from the elders to your pastor to your deacon, down to the members to the ladies in the lunchroom. Very thankful to be here. But you know, I've never been asked to sacrifice. You might think a little bit. I got a call. You know, I've been away from home since Tuesday, and I got a call, and my wife and I have been playing phone tag since Tuesday night. And I finally got to really talk with her and my two little girls. And glad to be home. Matter of fact, before church, before the service started, I opened up and looked on the BAS page. And there it is, right there. My daddy's the best daddy in the world. Okay? That reminded me. So there was a sacrifice in being here a little bit, but I wouldn't call it big faith. Lord willing, a plane will land and I'll get back home and be able to hug them, be with them tonight, be with service tomorrow. We're asked some things in Scripture, and we think it's, oh, such an inconvenience. But really, it's not that big a deal. I'm trying to put things in perspective. Okay? Here's a couple New Testament passages that we have to do. Sharing brings gain. Is that pig faith or cow faith? Is that a contribution like the pig and the chicken? Or like the cow and the chicken? Or is it really a commitment like the pig? Sharing brings gain. The Bible says that. New Testament, Old Testament. Do you believe it? Oh, Lord, that's too hard. No, it's still cow faith, isn't it? Brother Richard preached last night. Childlike trust brings maturity. That's hard. Isn't it? It's hard. But really, think about it. Is that pig faith or cow faith? I think it's cow faith, isn't it? Right? Service brings greatness. That's what the whole lesson about foot washing is about. When I get down on my knees, that servant is the greatest. Lord, you're asking too much here. No, I'm not. Or no, he's not. Isn't that right? Okay. All right, we've kind of got the idea. I've tried to present this before you, but I want to take it one step further, okay? I want to tell you one more parable. Now, this is not a parable of Jesus Christ. It's a parable of Brother Dolph Painter, and I'm going back into Greek mythology to get my parable. Okay? All right. Back in Greek mythology, there was a man named Odysseus. I don't know if you heard of him or not, Odysseus and the Argonauts. And Odysseus was the captain of a ship. And in the captain of a ship, he was in charge of all the sailors and this ship, the mast and the sails. And there was a story out there about this island where many other ships had crashed on the rocks and the reefs. It was a very dangerous island. And as the ship would go by and crash, the word came back that it was a very dangerous island. And the word came back that why they crashed. On this particular island, there were the creatures. They were called sirens. And they had the head of a woman and the body of a bird, and they sang beautifully. And as these ships would go by, they would hear that singing. They would be lured close to the island, so close that they would crash on the rocks and the reefs, and they'd become shipwrecked. So what Odysseus said, he says, I'm not going to fall for that. So this is what I'm going to do. He told his shipmates to strap them to the mast, and he told the shipmates to stuff cotton in their ears. So they sailed by, and they went by successfully by the island, and they were happy, and they got to their destination. But then on the time coming back, they said, you know what? That wasn't very profitable. So what they did is they hired a harpist to come up on the deck to play music more beautiful than the singing of the sirens. And they focused on the singing of the sirens, or the focused on the music of the harp. And they sailed back successfully. Okay, when Jesus taught a parable of the terrible of the sower, he says the dirt is the ground, and the sower is the preacher, and the seed is the word of God. I'm going to do the same thing. The song of the sirens is the love of the world. The music from the harp is the love of God. And the straps and the cotton, that's legalism. And my point is I don't know too many people that enter the kingdom of God through legalism. You know what's really going to do it? It's the love of God. So now what I'd like to do is look at a couple great acts of faith in Scripture. And we can call it pig faith or we can call it cow faith. But you know, if you have the love of God in you, it doesn't matter. Because you'll be focusing on Him. Let's go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Let me start reading at verse 7. Here's a great act of faith. And you know the question that's coming. Is it pig faith or cow faith? But then ultimately, I want to show you what Joseph's answer is. Joseph is working for Potiphar here. He got a bum deal, didn't he? He was sold out by his brothers. He gets enslaved. While he's enslaved, he doesn't pitch a fit or sulk. He makes the best of his situation. He still has a good work ethic, good steward. Let me start reading at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Here's an act of adultery or fornication, however you want to call it. And Joseph said, no. Is that pig faith or cow faith? Did he really have to give him himself? But what really drove him to the correct decision? It was a love of God. And because it was a love of God, the other two don't really matter, does it? You walk through brick walls because of that. I want to share a story of something that happened. Once upon a time, I taught math. Taught math in a middle school. And one of the things I tried to do is I tried to gain the respect of the students. And one of the ways I could do that was, you know, attend a ball game or some athletic event. And I always tried, when I did show up at an athletic event, I always made sure it was an away game. Because if I showed up at a home game, they'd say, okay, Mr. Painter's there. But if I showed up in a away game, they said, wow, he cares. Okay? And one day, I went to a baseball game, and I got to admit it was a twofer. I had some boys that were practicing soccer in the next field, and I slipped over, and they didn't know, so they thought I was there for them. But anyway, I was there, and I was standing behind home plate, and one of these boys was a seventh grader, and his name was Josh Jurius. Good boy. His dad used to be an offensive lineman for Duke, so he was a big boy. Even at seventh grade, his foot was this much bigger than mine anyway. And he was up there, and he was batting. And I think it was probably the first time he ever faced a curveball. And he looked silly. He's bailing out and missing by a foot. He came back behind the thing after he struck out behind the backstop. "Oh, Mr. Painter, I hated that you had to see that. I can't hit a curveball." And I said, "Well, then don't." He said, "Well, how do I do that?" I says, "You watch this guy. He sets up for the curveball, and when he throws a fastball, you can see him in his mitt do a twist." And I said, "Watch him." So he's sitting there watching. I said, "Fastball. It's a fastball. Okay, here's the curve." There it was. He was so excited. Next time up, he drills the ball. He gets a double off the fence. He thought he won the World Series, jumping up, "Down, I hit it. So time goes by, and now it's eighth grade. Whole year goes by, and I forgot the whole incident. I'm walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, someone picks me up from behind and gives me a bear hug and lifts me this far off the ground. "Mr. Painter, guess what?" I said, "You're trying to get expelled. Put me down." So he put one down. He says, "I hit one out." See, what happened was, is over time, I tried in the classroom to get his respect. But, you know, when you're talking about a middle school student and you're talking about the difference between quadratic equations and hitting a home run and not looking silly in front of a girl that you're kind of sweet on, which one do you think really means the most to him, right? And I helped him in the area where it really means most. And he was loyal to me for 2 years. No one said anything about Mr. Painter when Josh Jurius was around. Well, it's that kind of thing with the Lord, I believe, too. You have a love of the Lord. When you have a love of the Lord, all this other stuff of doing your homework and paying attention in class and straightening out other kids, it's not an issue if you have a respect and a love for the Lord. And I got it from one student. And I can tell you a success story. I didn't get it from all the students, but I did get it from that one student. That's the way it is. All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's get to the New Testament now. Peter's preaching, and he's getting towards the end of this message. This is Pentecost. And at the very end, we're at, he's finishing up his sermon in verse 36, and we come to Acts 2 and verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Is that pig faith or cow faith? What do you think? If you lived back then and you got cast out of the synagogue and lost your mode of employment, you could probably say it was pig faith. But what happened was, is they heard the gospel, and finally all the old stuff in the Old Testament that Peter was drawing out and saying, this old stuff that all these Old Testament prophets were preaching about, what Moses was preaching about, is fulfilled in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And they were pricked in their heart. And as a love for the Lord, they wanted to know, what shall I do? Now, I can come to a meeting like this, and I don't know who's been baptized and who hasn't. I don't know who's been in the church and who's not. That's why it's kind of nice to be a visiting preacher. When you do it at home, they say, "You're preaching at me, brother." But I love coming to a visiting meeting sometimes, because you can shoot buckshot and you don't know who you're getting and who you're not. But the Lord says, repent and be baptized. Oh, that's so much. Lord, you're asking too much. Come on, give me a break. Right? The blessings that come from being a part of a local church, the blessings that come from having a closer communion with the Lord, it's kind of like Naaman. You remember Naaman? Naaman was a Syrian general. He was a pretty big shot. Champion soldier. He had leprosy. And he goes to Elisha. I think it was Elisha. And he goes to Elisha. And he comes walking up to Elisha. And actually, it's kind of a reverse of his case. And he comes up to Elisha and he says, "I got leprosy." And Elisha says, "Go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman says, "What?" He says, and his servants come to him. He says, "If you had asked a great thing, you'd have done that." But he says, "Oh, go dip yourself 7 times. That's beneath me." He says, "You got leprosy. What you got to lose?" So he goes and he dips himself, come out, and he comes out, and his skin is softer than a baby's bottom. It's pure. But for some reason, he thought, "That's too much, Lord. That's pig faith." And I say, "Name it, give me a break. Is it really pig faith?" "No, not at all. Obeying your Lord." And that's what the commandment is. Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." My friends, walking into the kingdom of God, it takes an act of faith. But I don't even know how we can call it pig faith, or I don't even know how we can call it cow faith when there's so many blessings on the other side of that. It's like, I get, I receive. I'm blessed. I have a communion with the Lord I didn't have before. It's not a huge act. You might think, okay, you mean you want me to walk in the water with my clothes on? We got dryers, huh? You want me to trust him to put me down and bring me back up? Come on, how many has he lost so far, right? You want me to be associated by the name of Jesus Christ? Sounds like a pretty good privilege to me. Amen. So I'm asking you, to be associated with the Lord, to be associated with His church, to be associated with His people, don't act like it's big faith. It's not here in America. Maybe in the Middle Ages in Europe. Maybe in the Middle East when the time of Christ. Or maybe in the Middle East right now. But not now. Not here. It's not that sacrifice from an earthly sense. And the blessings and the privileges that come. Now let's put the pig faith and the cow faith aside. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you'll do it.